From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Hey, how's your eyes are hanging? It's the Disc Golf News for the week of June 21st, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our report for this, the first week of summer, includes results from last weekend's national tour event, the Discraft Great Lakes Open in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And David Feldberg has a tasty tip for your success at the Pro-Am World Championships this summer in the 62nd Clinic. Plus, we'll take a peek into the mind and disc golf bag of a true champion. An extended interview with disc golf world champion Barry Schultz is coming up. It's PDGA Radio News, and it's sponsored this and every week by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
The PDGA National Tour was in Ann Arbor, Michigan last weekend for the Discraft
Great Lakes Open.
Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, where Brad Hammack had a huge first round, beats everybody in any division, and cruises to victory. Kenny Gill, Kirk Hagedorn in second and third. To the Women's Division, where Jess Redding and Elaine King were all tied up after regulation, a couple of former world champs going head-to-head for the final nine. Jess Redding, though, nothing but pars, and Elaine King falters with one bogey, and that is going to be enough to take care of business. Jess Redding is your winner, Elaine King second place, and Barrett White takes third. To the Open Division, where homeboy Scott Martin led by three after regulation, going into the final nine, he thought, everything's cool. You're out of here, Scott. At the end of the final nine, Chris Herron of Wisconsin and Colorado's Mike Randolph, plus former world champ Cameron Todd, tied up. They go into a playoff in the second hole. Boom, everybody with a big drive. But Cameron Todd with a huge putt. He is your winner, picks up a bunch of skins as well. Herron and Randolph tied up for second place. And that is how it went down last weekend at the Discraft Great Lakes Open. Oh, those crazy disc golfers always on the move. Perfect example, professional disc golfer David Feldberg on Sunday was at the Great Lakes Open in Michigan. By Monday, he's in Des Moines checking out the courses that will be hosting the World Championships later on this summer. In this week's 62nd Clinic, Mr. Feldberg shares with us a tip that will help aid our success at this year's Worlds.
Hi, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, preparing for this year's World Championships. This week's pro tip is tee shot positioning. The courses in Des Moines, Iowa have many par fours and require a certain tee shot to have the opportunity to get a birdie or a par. The way the tees and the holes are set up is that there are many places you can land to be safe, but there are only certain areas that will provide you with a clean shot for your second or third attempt. The mistake players are making are throwing too far off the tee to try to reduce their distance of their next shot. If you do this in Des Moines, Iowa, you'll find yourself with tricky stances and windows that will take away your chance to birdie or par. If you play a better and shorter shot that guarantees you a clean shot and an open stance to the basket, you'll have many more opportunities to reduce your score. Here is where the pro tip comes in. What I do is I look at the shot off the tee, and then I walk down to the basket and look backwards towards the tee. I then pick the best landing areas and go back to them and try to throw. Sometimes from the tee, it seems like you would be better just to blast down there as far as I can and have a shorter approach. But I've picked spots that maybe not align with the basket, but they're the good place to be. But if you pick these spots and leave yourself with clean stances and open windows, even if your second shot is a little harder or farther, your score at this year's World Championship will reflect one of a smart, controlled golfer.
Professional disc golfer David Feldberg has been kicking the butts and taking the names of disc golfers for the past 5 years. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. In the big picture this week, it will be many, many years before anyone can eclipse the accomplishments of the guy who is the undisputed greatest disc golfer of all time, 11-time world champion Ken Climo. However, there is one player who is slowly but surely climbing out from under that shadow. He has won a couple of national titles. He is the only Open player to ever win a gold medal in disc golf at the World Games. And in 2003, he won his first Worlds title. He's Wisconsin's Barry Schultz, and we caught up with him this weekend. Barry Schultz, welcome to PDGA Radio.
How you doing, Brian?
We're here on a beautiful day in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we want to know more about you. And let's begin with how you got started.
I got started when I was about 10 years old. I have a couple older brothers, and one of them took me down to this golf park in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and I was hooked instantly. I was playing every day. It was within bicycle riding distance, so I put in 10 or 12 round days sometimes as a kid, a couple summers in a row, and I've just grown up with the sport. You know, as the disc got better and better, I got better and better. Kept working hard, and here we are.
Was there a point where you thought, this is what I want to do for a living, I want to be a professional disc golfer?
Well, as I was a teenager and we're traveling around different cities and playing different courses, we always talked about how great it would be just to be able to do this for a living, not worrying about a job, having to go back, just play a different course every day or a couple days. We never really thought that was even a possibility, much less really an attainable goal. But as I started traveling and joining the PGA, realizing that money can be had and seeing, especially over the last 5 years, how much it's been growing, I just felt it was time to take that chance in 2001, so I did it.
You have achieved essentially every major accomplishment that a disc golfer can make. You won a gold medal at the games in Akita. You've got two USDGC titles, and now you're the PDGA World Champion. So let me ask you this. Is any one of those the one you really wanted bad?
I have to say the Worlds, because I've been to so many, is one I really wanted. And I've been close a couple times, and I've always felt, especially the last 2 or 3, 4 years, that I've had a chance. And that's all I really want to give myself every weekend. So the Worlds was a great win. The courses in the area were fantastic. I had so much fun there hanging out with a bunch of guys. We spent almost 3 weeks there. It was beautiful, Flagstaff, Arizona. The World Games, I always joke that I might be able to do that when we heard rumors of it happening in the World Games, you know, 10 years ago. And for it to come true was one dream. But to actually be the person to go over there to do it was quite another. And the gold medal, it really didn't even matter if I won a medal or not. Just going over there and being a part of that experience is, I think, long term, when I'm done playing and I look back, that's going to be the one event that I'm going to be most proud of.
Remind us of the last round at Worlds last year when you became world champion. Tell me what was happening and what you were thinking and feeling and you know, what happened.
Well, Saturday morning we played at Thorpe, and it was a shorter course that we had played during the week, so I was comfortable with the course. I knew it. Had a couple stroke leads, so I just wanted to stay loose and comfortable, and I had a lot of fun playing. We had a bunch of group guys playing with. The course was probably the cleanest of the courses there. I had a good day. You know, I don't know if I lengthened my lead or not, but the final nine was different because we'd never played those holes. It was a lot of fun with my mom and my nephew there all week. The crowd was really loud, really nice to see everybody out there. It was a great, great experience the whole week.
You have been one of the top disc golfers for years now. What last year finally clicked for you?
Well, as any good golfer will tell you, you have to be lucky and you have to have things fall in place. I had my share of good breaks last year. You know, everybody knows that breaks even out in the long run. But it just seems like there were times when I got a break and I made the putt or made the upshot or whatever to take advantage of that break. And I was traveling a lot with the Carolina crew, and we did a lot of practicing on the courses. We did a lot of things besides disc golf, and that really kept my mind and body at ease when I was out there playing over the weekends. You know, you got to be comfortable and relaxed out there, and I was, because I was doing stuff besides disc golf. You know, we were, you know, seeing the country, doing all kinds of hiking and checking things out, you know, places we'd never been. I was so relaxed and so comfortable, and I had a lot of support from a lot of people. And of course, I practiced hard. I tried to focus and try to do what was best, not just what I was feeling. That's a hard thing to do out there for you guys, is to stop what you're feeling and still try and continue playing good golf or average golf, whatever you're shooting for. Everything just kind of fell in place, you know, and kept a good attitude, and that was so important. You know, you overcome a lot when you do that, instead of falling to a bad shot and letting that ruin your round. You got to overcome it, and then you'll shoot even better, maybe. So everything just kind of worked.
What's currently in your bag? What are you throwing?
Well, of course, I've got AVRs. You know, I throw both big bead, no bead, small bead, old, new. I throw everything as far as aviaries go. I've got usually three or four or five of those in the bag, depending on the course. Two for putting. I don't throw my putters. My putters, I try not to wreck on trees or crack or anything like that. So I've got two or three throwing aviaries as well. And then I've got anywhere from four or five rocks in the bag, maybe a shark or two, depending on the course. Again, I throw San Marinos, Ontarios, Ranchos. You know, I don't throw a CE rock, but I throw just about every kind of rock. I'm kind of particular in a way I like my plastic to feel, so it changes on the weather, you know, humidity, hot, cold. I'll change up my discs a lot. As far as drivers go, I'm really throwing a lot of CEs these days just because the disc doesn't change for long periods of time. That means I've got to kind of keep focused on what I'm using in the bag, so I'm not trying to depend on a disc too much or something like that. But I change out to DX plastic in the cold and in the rain conditions as well. I just don't like that CE grip in the rain conditions. I'm throwing leopards a lot. I'm throwing the CETL a lot. I'm throwing, of course, Beasts. Beasts is a great roller and a great touch disc for me and my long-distance driver. The Oryx is in and out of my bag from here and there. It's a great disc if I'm throwing it hyzer, but if I got any wind or trying to turn it over, it's kind of touchy. I still haven't figured that one out. Leopards, not enough people throw leopards. I'm telling you, people, get yourself a CE or a SE leopard and throw it. It's like a big rock. You know, you don't have to throw it hard. You can throw it with anhyzer, with straight, with hyzer. You can roll with it. It's a great disc. Instead of trying to throw a rock or a mid-range hard, throw the leopard easy. And it just is, it make you a better golfer. Trust me. I've also got Firebirds in the bag, CE Firebirds, FXs. For high wind conditions and for big hyzer shots. And I really change up my bag a lot depending on the course. You know, a couple more rocks or short range stuff if it's a shorter course. Again, just all depends on the course. I try and have, say, 50 or 60 discs on hand that I can choose from. That's why going to a field is so important. So I got to know what my plastic does on a day-to-day basis instead of just depending on the 14 I have with me, and then I got four more in the trunk. You know, I'm not sure what they do. Well, I know what all my discs do for the most part. If I don't know what I can do with it, I don't carry it. So that's a good lesson to learn as well. If you don't know what you can do with it, why even carry it? It's just added weight in your bag.
And that leads into my next question, which is, what is your practice routine? Do you have a routine, and if so, what is it?
Well, it's really tough to have a routine. My favorite days of practice, which don't happen often enough, are midweek days. When I'm at home, I can take my basket out to a soccer field or a football field, and I'll do some stretching, I'll do some upshotting, and then I fill my bag up with whatever disc I want and then throw back and forth across the field, do some putting, just goof around for an hour or two out there, getting used to my plastic, just getting some exercise. Not really focusing on any one kind of shot, just seeing what I can do, what I can't do. You know, just experimenting. You're not going to learn anything if you throw the same shots over and over again. So I try to mix it up as much as possible. Because I've been traveling a lot and I'm not home all that often during the week, and when I am, I'm doing laundry or saying hi to the girlfriend and the cat. But when I'm on the road, I really don't try and have hard practice days. I think just throwing enough on the courses that I'm practicing is good practice. But whenever you practice, try and make sure you stretch out and you're loose beforehand. If you're tired or not quite warmed up and you're trying to practice something, you're probably going to get into a bad habit, a bad form, because you're not loose and because you're kind of pushing it, because you're not quite ready. Usually I just try and make sure I'm loose and prepared. I don't really care how my shots are flying. I just want to be good and loose when I'm practicing and warmed up, just trying different things.
Most disc golfers are amateurs. What is one piece of advice that you could give that entire group that would help them to get to the next level in their game? Is there such a piece of advice?
I don't think there's one particular piece of advice. There's bits and pieces that really can help you. It's one is be realistic, I think, is extremely important. When somebody plays, and whether it's a league or even just with your buddies or in a tournament, and you don't play your best golf and you're upset about that, they call it your best golf for a reason, because it's your best golf. That means you're going to play that way 1 out of 10 times, because it's your best. You can't always play your best golf. And especially in the amateur divisions, whether you're playing with your buddies or in a tournament, just playing average so-so golf is going to really do you quite well. And what I mean by that is staying within yourself. You know, be realistic. If you've never thrown that disc that way, that far, why are you trying it right now? That doesn't make sense. Do something you know or feel you can do, and chances are you're going to be able to do it on a higher percentage than something risky. Practice, practice, practice is always a good piece of advice as well. And I don't mean play rounds and play rounds and play rounds. You know, when you play a round of golf, you're just throwing the same 18 shots over and over again. When I say practice, I mean play catch with somebody for 20 minutes before you start a round. Play catch from 100 to 150 feet. You'll be surprised how good your upshots get when you're playing catch with somebody, trying to hit them in the chest or whatever the case is. Practice away from the course is the best practice because you get more shots in a less amount of time. Play with different people. Don't always play with the same Joe and Hank and Fred all the time. Play with different people. You see somebody playing alone at the course, you know, don't tell them to play through, tell them to join you. Or if you're catching up to somebody, don't play through, play with them. You know, even if it's only for three or four holes to finish around, whatever. Seeing somebody else play a technique, a throw, an idea, even just an attitude on the golf course can help you a great deal. I learn every weekend. I learn something from somebody every weekend because I'm paying attention. I'm not in my own little world. I guess I am because I'm trying to stay focused, but I'm not so much in my own little world that everything, you know, I don't see anything else. So try and pay attention and learn every time you're out there. I mean, nobody knows everything, so just do stuff, learn, try different stuff. Don't do the same old, same old.
Last question. Looking ahead to Worlds this summer in Des Moines, it's the final round. You're in the lead group. It's close. Who's your dream foursome?
Who's my dream foursome? Wow, see, now you're bringing in the whole, wow, that's a pretty wide topic because I don't even know if I pick all disc golfers. Because if you say a dream, I want somebody like Tiger Woods playing in that foursome, even though he's not in disc golf. I want him there playing just so he can be aware of the sport and see how electric it is when we have a crowd and we have great golfers throwing great shots. It's just like any other sport. You know, people that play the sport are amazed at how these top-end players play, just like, you know, the average everyday tennis player is amazed at how skilled some of these people are, hitting, you know, 153-mile-an-hour serve, give me a break. You know, it's the same way for us. If we can show people how electric and energizing it is to see good golf being played on a beautiful piece of land and stuff like that, it's... So, okay, top four. Well, I'd have to say the one guy that I wish I could play around golf with now is Mike Pickle-Miller. He was my first mentor growing up. He was our course pro at Valrath Park in Sheboygan. And he passed away in the mid-80s. And he never got to see me travel and get to be where I am. And it's all because of him. He taught me how to approach the game and throw with, not necessarily style, but if you throw the same way every time, you'll be able to repeat. You'll be able to, you know, change it as well, you know. Keeping good form is very important. Being slow and relaxed is very important. I have to say, let's see. Again, I'm going to have to go old school and say one of my old doubles partners, Paul Nitsch. We grew up playing a lot of golf together, traveling a lot, playing national doubles. He's married and has a couple of children now, and I don't see him too much anymore. And I have to say my fourth would be Duster Dunhoffman from Madison. I got to go all within the state and all kind of old school. I have so much fun playing with these people, and if it would be, you know, whether we're all playing in a final nine or last group of the Worlds, you know, the situation doesn't really matter where we're playing, but just that would be my best foursome to play with.
Barry Schultz, thanks for your time, and good luck in Des Moines this summer.
Thanks. Thanks, Brian.
Barry Schultz will be seeking his second Worlds title this summer in Des Moines. We spoke to him at the Discraft Great Lakes Open in Ann Arbor, Michigan. A truckload of activities going on this weekend, June 26 and 27. The big guns and those who challenge them are going to this weekend's Super Tour event, the Pittsburgh Flying Disc Open, always a cool event. Elsewhere, it's Kiss the Sky in Aspen, and in Kansas, it's the second Glass Blown Open. In Portland, it's the Progress Tournament, that one's for AMS only, and in Lansing, Michigan, Clem's Collectible Shootout. A couple of events in Texas, the Conroe Northside Open and the Denton Open, plus the Doe Challenge in New Mexico, and in Bowling Green, it's the Health Fights Open.
Got to have something to do with Dr. Rick there. In Nevada, check out King of the Lake. And in Blackfoot, Idaho, it's Pride Day's Challenge. Plus, in Illinois, it's the Streamwood Starter. And in Amavet and Oskaloosa, it's the Disc Nut. Plus, Stroudsburg, Virginia, the 4th Stroudsburg Shag. And the Firefighters Classic in Troy, Michigan. Check the whole list day or night at PDGA.com. And what else have we got going on here? Oh, stats. Fresh tour stats. It's June 15th. Let's roll down some tour points leaders, beginning with the Open Division. Cameron Todd leading everybody with 57.95. For the women, it's Carrie Burlogger, 4.92. For the Masters, Brad Hammack at 28.57. Elaine King leading the Women's Masters. It's Rick Vokes leading the Grandmasters, and his wife Sylvia Vokes leading the Women Grandmasters. And the leader of the old guys, Peter Shive with 147. For the Ams, Daryl Lambrecht, Monica Livingston, Bruce Brakel, Deatra Edwards, Morty Finkel, and Tony Hoyman, all leaders in their respective divisions. And for the juniors, Jamie Mosier, Matt Hall, Coral Sauls, and Megan Stroh. A Worlds update, this one for the juniors. There are currently 52 juniors registered to compete in the World Championships this summer in Des Moines. Now, 52 is a pretty big number for the juniors, and you could see why, because they're getting lots of cool things like buses to and from the courses. You don't have to worry about carting them around. They get free lunches, all sorts of good things they will be catered to. So, parents, either bring or send your junior disc golfers to the Worlds this year. They are going to have a ton of fun along with everyone else. And finally this week, kudos to A3 Disc. This is the club behind the Great Lakes Open. According to PDGA Executive Director Brian Honegger, the Ann Arbor Club continues to be, quote, the deepest and most experienced team out there. Among the other great things that this club continues to do, they were instrumental in convincing Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm to proclaim June 2004 to be the Disc Golf Month in Michigan. So congratulations and continued thumbs up to the folks in Ann Arbor. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of June 21. Summer is here. Get out there and suck the marrow out of the season. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World. You can discover them at DTWorld.com. Until next week, keep them in the fairways.